heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Indeed, friends, this is Patrick Conley. Yes, I am. The show is called Practicing Catholic, and it's really good that you tuned in. I'm really grateful that you've tuned in to listen to the show today, even if we just happen to be playing in your vehicle as you're going down the road. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, remember, you can share one of our podcasted interviews. You can find out on pretty near any of the podcast platforms, or just hop over to practicingcatholicshow.com. Well, we're zeroing in on the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time this weekend, which holds a rather treacherous gospel lesson for me to deal with, at least on the air. It's the narrative of Jesus visiting the sisters Martha and Mary. You're probably familiar with the story, but Jesus comes to their village and Martha welcomes him and then starts doing a whole bunch of rather servile things while her sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet to listen to him. Martha objects that her sister isn't helping her, and Jesus delivers his famous response, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Now, why is this particular gospel passage treacherous for me? See, this is the case that my wife, she leans pretty markedly in the direction of being a Martha. She's always looking, and I mean, a lot of times this is a really good thing, and she's looking to what needs to be done, and then she just jumps right in and gets it done. But it almost gets to that point where she can't not notice it. It's something that just kind of screams out of her. And even when we're saying our daily prayers together, I know sometimes it's a struggle for her when she notices something, she hears something, she thinks of something that still needs to be done. And I can almost feel her body tense as she forces herself to remain in prayer. Well, in all of this being the case, I have to be very careful about how I utilize Jesus' now rather mild rebuke of Martha, and probably best not to utilize it at all. Well, if any of you do find yourselves in a similar situation, here's what I've come to realize. First, though I may fancy myself more of a Mary than a Martha, there's plenty of ways that I am still distracted in prayer. I'm not more of a Mary, I'm just less of a Martha. So I might not be being distracted by things that need to get done, but I'm distracted by my own thoughts, my own daydreaming, a noise that I heard, a song that is going through my head, things like that. That doesn't make me more of a Mary. That just makes me less of a Martha, I think. Second, Jesus was not saying that these tasks, you know, forget them. They don't need to be done, you know. But what he was saying was, don't worry about it. Yeah. Mary had chosen the better part, not the only part. But she was saying to Martha, he was saying to Martha, stop worrying. Stop placing this at the center of your concern. And that's a message for all of us. So whether you're distracted in prayer from like Martha was, whether you're distracted in prayer like I am, placing Jesus at the core of it all is what is really what he's wanting and what he's wanting us to do, to place him at the core, placing him first. And this is about the time when the song "Seek Ye First" starts going through my mind. Finally, remember, Martha was still a friend of Jesus. He went to visit his friends, Martha and Mary, and later on their brother Lazarus as well. So Martha's worry and distraction, they weren't ultimately enough to keep her away from the Lord. And I think that's a good lesson for us all as well. When we become consumed with the worries and distractions and anxieties of everyday life, when they seem to press themselves down upon us, when they seem to take over our thought lives, when we can't turn off the repetitive broken record in our minds about things that are worrying us and concerning us, that's when we need to remember that these things cannot keep us away ultimately from the Lord, that we must always seek to draw near to Him first and foremost. And at the end of the day, as my wife constantly likes to remind me, St. Martha is still a saint. Another great show coming up today for you. First up, Catholic news and journalism, of course, are important. You're listening to this show, which looks at life in the church. Well, first up, we're privileged to have senior editor from the National Catholic Register with us, and he just happens to be local. He'll join us in a moment to talk about why Catholic news matters. Plus, we look to at Indian ministry in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and we'll learn about an important national conference coming to the Twin Cities next year. And later, a transformational retreat for healing and equipping people for the new evangelization is coming to Eagan. That's all coming up on the show today. So glad that you joined us. Let's, as always, you know, we like to pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So I ask you to please pray with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at that hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 21st century America, we are truly blessed to have a plethora of ways to get Catholic news, updates, and commentaries, really in a variety of formats. Relevant radio, of course, is one way, but another source I'm betting you're already familiar with is the National Catholic Register. But here's something you may not know. Did you know the Register senior editor is none other than Jonathan Liddle from our very own Archdiocese? Jonathan, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. You're serving as senior editor for National Catholic Register, and what does that mean? Tell us about how that came to be and what it entails.
Yeah, well, I think the story of how it came to be, you know, like some things in life, it's not the neat linear version that maybe when we're younger we think about what we're going to do when we grow up. And it kind of just works out directly like that. I think it's, yeah, how I've kind of, you know, not only ended up in this position, but in the world of Catholic media, I think it's really, yeah, just this story of God's providence and different things opening up and sort of the needs of the world and the church and also, you know, the gifts God has given me kind of aligning in different ways. So I didn't go to school to study journalism or to get involved in a newspaper. I studied political science and Arabic, but one thing I kind of was always doing was writing. So, you know, I guess I was, if I'm honest, I was involved in my Pequot Lakes high school newspaper, which I'm sure you're familiar with, very prominent.
Oh, yes, I have all the old archives back at home. Yes,
I think we called it the Monthly Patriot or something like that. It was like a two-page newsletter, maybe. But so involved in that. And then, you know, I think probably the first sort of full kind of involvement with a journalistic endeavor came during my undergrad years at Notre Dame. There's, you know, the official student paper on campus is called The Observer, mm-hmm. but there's actually this kind of, you know, sort of ragtag, like underground revolutionary newspaper. No, not, I wouldn't go that far, but this newspaper called The Irish Rover, which is really, it exists on Notre Dame's campus to really just kind of cover what's happening at the university from a Catholic perspective. So celebrating so many of the great things that happen at Notre Dame, consistent with, you know, the mission of a Catholic university, and also just kind of calling attention to, you know, changes or events that happen where you're like, huh, how does this fit in with the church's mission? So I kind of stumbled into involvement in that as an undergrad, and that gave me some chops, you know, definitely writing sort of news style pieces as opposed to opinion pieces, and also some editing as well. But really, yeah, I think, you know, again, like I said, I never planned on ending up in a career in journalism. And I think, you know, that's just kind of the way that the opportunities that have opened up for me. You know, like actually, so I first kind of got into the professional Catholic world of journalism because I was writing at the time for an online publication called Ethica Politica. And someone read a piece I wrote, kind of, you know, detailing sort of the Catholic political vision, how it's not Republican, how it's not Democrat, but it's something altogether different. And they were starting a news program in D.C., EWTN News Nightly. And they read what I wrote. They liked my perspective. And next thing I know, I'm interviewing for a job in D.C. and got involved with EWTN that way. And, you know, so it's been a lot of kind of just interesting providential openings like that, whereas some other possibilities or paths that maybe I tried to make happen more directly didn't work out. But it seems like God, he's always drawing me back to kind of working in this capacity, to doing journalism in the church, both kind of covering what's happening in the church, but then also, you know, with that Catholic vision, looking out to what's happening in the world. So that's what I try to do.
That's great. That's great. Now, give us an idea. What does a senior editor for National Catholic Register do? What's your day to day?
Yeah, it's a very. It sounds like a fancy title.
It does.
To me. Yeah, I think so. It is cool because it's a. So the term editor is actually really interesting in journalism because I think. If you know, before I was kind of familiar with the whole process, when you hear editor, you think of the verb to edit.
Right.
And, you know, that's just sort of correcting what someone writes. But really, and there's certainly copy editors, right, who focus on just kind of correcting, you know, errors in syntax and things like that. But editors with publications actually, you know, play a very important role in kind of shaping coverage, shaping the direction, sort of like looking at what's happening in the world, what's looking at happening in the church, not only saying, oh, we're going to cover this story, but then also, well, what aspects of it are we going to draw out? Who are the sources we're going to talk to? So I'm, you know, one senior editor. We have another senior editor on staff and then some other editor types of editors as well. So we have a kind of an editorial team. Okay. And so I contribute to that by sort of looking again at what's happening in our church, what's happening in our world, and what a Catholic you know, imagination, a Catholic mind, and a Catholic heart is kind of drawn to highlight for other people, drawn to investigate further, because I think it is important. You know, one really big difference I would say between Catholic media and secular media in general is that, you know, we're failing as a Catholic, you know, publication if we're sort of just writing the stories that you know, that people click on, right? If we're just kind of giving people red meat, if we're just kind of, you know, generating traffic, you know, or anything like that, we really have a catechetical mission.
Yeah.
And it's really a mission to inform people, to help educate them in the heart and the mind of the church. And certainly there are going to be different Catholic publications out there, and they have different audiences that might have, you know, sort of different political attachments. And I think, you know, if we got into it, we could say the same thing about the Register. But I think the point is you meet your audience where you're at, and the goal should be to always, you know, bringing people, you know, into a kind of fuller life with the teachings of the church, with the community of the church, and belonging more deeply and more primarily to that. So there's definitely a role in helping shape that kind of coverage. I think my background, you know, I'm really blessed to have a good formation in theology, beginning undergrad years at Notre Dame, but then Catholic Studies master's at St. Thomas, 3 years in seminary, and then doing master's in theology right now at the St. Paul Seminary.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of theological background. And then also, I have been really blessed to do things like work for 2 years with Jason Adkins at the Minnesota Catholic Conference.
Yeah.
So really that kind of Catholic social teaching vision, how do we look at the political issues of our day, not from a partisan or an ideological perspective, but, you know, from the perspective of the church. So definitely helping assign, you know, come up with story ideas and assigning those to people or making sure they're being covered in some way. And then I also write too. So I do write stories for the Register. And I would say I tend to write pieces that are more sort of analytical and are sort of, you know, maybe not just reporting on an event that happens, but maybe saying, oh, well, this event happened over here. You know, this statement was made over here. What's kind of the underlying connection? What's the deeper current or trend that we can kind of point to and explain for people? So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a, I don't know if that's a day in the life, but just a general kind of sort of snapshot of the stuff that's involved in the position.
So we're speaking with Jonathan Liddle, who's a senior editor for the National Catholic Register, on being a Catholic, or being working with and for a Catholic media outlet, Catholic news organization. And he's just explaining to us some of the things that have gone on, or what takes place in his day-to-day life, which, Jonathan, I got to say, sounds pretty burdensome. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot on your shoulders there, even though it sounds also that it has some excitement to it as well. Maybe just give us an idea for you personally. I mean, what's it like serving the church in this way? How do you like it?
Yeah, no, I think I really like that you say that you, I don't know if I'd say burdensome, but I think you're onto something, right? Which is that, like, it's a big responsibility. And
right.
I think, you know, there've been times, you know, so before I stepped back into working with the Register over these past 2 years, I was in seminary for 3 years. And seminary is a, you know, your own experience, Patrick, we could talk about that as well, but it's like a beautiful time of receptivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're being formed, you're receiving. It's not that you don't have opinions about things, but it's really a time to kind of take in,
right?
Take in the theology of the church, take in the liturgy of the church, take in the church's social teaching. And so it was kind of an interesting switch, right? Going from that kind of environment to
right.
then an environment where, you know, you have to make judgments, right? You do have to decide, like, nope, we're going to cover this and not cover that. Nope, we're going to cover this in this way and ask these questions. And, you know, there's something to dig a little deeper on here. So you're right. It is a responsibility, and I've thought about that a lot, right? Because I don't think we should take it lightly. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I think it is easy for me to sort of, you know, and I'm sure we all do this in our own ways, you know, kind of get a little myopic or something, and sort of just be like, the work I'm doing, what does it really matter? But I do have to be reminded that, you know, sometimes thousands of people, tens of thousands of people are reading what I write,
exactly.
and or reading what I edit, and that it is like actually informing the way people see the world. So I need to, first of all, be humble, right? And as one of my favorite figures in the church, Luigi Giussani, says, we have to love the truth more than our own ideas. So I think, that kind of humility that, and you can tell, I don't know if you know this, but like if you've experienced this, but I can tell when I'm kind of riled up about something and I want to write something that's more of like, you know, it might be like, it might be more concerned with like getting my point across
right.
than actually truth, right? Like there, we can kind of discern that difference within us. So I think that kind of humility, knowing I don't have all the answers, but I think something I've come to realize too, is that humility does involve, you know, accepting sort of the gifts and the opportunities that God has given us, and also the responsibilities that He's called us to. And so, you know, like I said at the beginning of the program, I didn't plan it out when I was 18 years old. Oh, I'm gonna, you know, become the senior editor of the National Catholic Register so I can, like, you know, push my vision of the church forward or anything like that. But through God's providence, here I am. I'm in this role. He's given me, you know, some abilities to write and kind of see, you know, the world from a Catholic perspective, given me, I think, a good education. And so I find myself in this position. So it is a weight for sure, but I think humility has allowed me to see, oh, like, you know, trust that God's led you here, trust that He'll continue to provide for you. And you can make judgments on how to cover certain things or what to cover. And you do have, you know, you're not like an expert theologian, but you have a good theological formation. And so you can trust in that to allow you to guide the questions you ask in interviews, you know, the topics that intrigue you, the connections you're making that a secular newspaper won't make, but that we at a Catholic newspaper strive to make. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, humility, I would say, is the most important virtue to have, probably in all of life, but definitely in a arena where you're you're publishing ideas that other people are reading, and you're really informing the way other people see reality.
Well, humility is one of those characteristic virtues that, yes, we would all seek after. But like you say, I can see how it'd be very important in journalism. So just one more question here for our last minute or so, which is, what would you say, Jonathan, to somebody who's maybe a young Catholic who's interested in getting involved in journalism or the media somehow, specifically in the Catholic media?
Yeah, great question. I would say kind of two things. So the one thing is just to write, to take every opportunity to write. You know, we live in a day where you can have your own Substack, your own blog, you know, social media. So just begin the process of writing, of looking at an issue, looking at an event, expressing your thoughts in words, and also work on maybe developing an ability to report stories. So not just sharing your opinion, but being able to look at something happening in the world and describe it in a kind of factual, neutral way. Take every opportunity, you know, to write. Even if they're unpaid, I think building up those bylines, as we call them, is a really great thing. Get an internship with Maria Wearing at the Catholic Spirit, the best editor I've ever worked with in my life.
Oh, fantastic.
And then just real quick on the other side of it, be formed in the church, right? Like, you know, that's true for all of us. But if you're going to cover the church and the world from a Catholic perspective, immerse yourself in the teachings of the church, her social doctrine, her spiritual, you know, spiritual teachings, the gospel, everything else. Like, we really live in a world where that doesn't share actually the same fundamental principles as the church in terms of how we think about human life, how we think about society, how we think about community. And so I think it really takes a kind of countercultural education to have that Catholic perspective. So those are the two kinds of dimensions of that I would emphasize.
Very good. Well, Jonathan Liddle, Senior Editor at National Catholic Register, thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Patrick. Take care.
You can find the National Catholic Register and some of the fruits of Jonathan's labor online at ncregister.com. Coming up on Practicing Catholic, what's happening with and for Indigenous Catholics in our area? More than you might expect. Stay tuned for more.
I had a really bad day, covered up with anger and feeling so bad about things, you know, and it was just my imagination.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
Worry is a biggie.
Our Catholic priests are here to help.
Eliminating anxieties is virtually impossible, but again, we could whittle it down. And we need to use the gospel. He says, you're going to have a lot of suffering. In this life, you will have affliction, but take courage. I've overcome the world. A Christian should not worry about anything. And Jesus says, first seek the kingdom of God. Everything else is going to be given to you besides. Then he gets very practical. Don't worry about tomorrow. The present moment has its own troubles. In other words, don't invent crosses. Don't create scenarios of problems when they don't exist. And if a difficulty does exist, you will get the grace for it. You don't have the grace to bear an invented cross.
The Inner Life, weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 Central, on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. The church we are called to be part of is the Church Universal, of course, the Catholic Church. And as such, there are many human cultures and languages that are represented within her. Even right here in our own archdiocese, you may have a Spanish mass at your parish for our Hispanic Latino brothers and sisters, or perhaps your parish has particular Polish roots, or Hmong, or Vietnamese. But did you know there's also an office in our local church and an upcoming conference specifically serving the indigenous people of the archdiocese? Here to tell us all about it is Director and Pastoral Minister Sean Phillips. Welcome, Sean, to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today.
Very good. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Office for Indian Ministry here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis?
Sure. We have actually two places. We have a parish, Gichetwa Katiri, which is at 31st and Park, that serves the Native and Catholic people in the Archdiocese, as well as the Office of American Indian Ministry as well, which kind of deals more with the more global things here in the diocese, as well as the Minnesota Catholic Conference and the USCCB.
Okay. Got it. And what are your roles? I think it's plural rather than singular, but what are your roles at Gichitwa Kateri and at the Office for Indian Ministry?
So the Office of Indian Ministry, we are involved in Catholic Native issues that are larger here in the Archdiocese. So we might enter into discussions with tribes. Currently, the Minnesota Catholic Conference has been meeting with tribal leaders concerning boarding schools.
Right, yep.
And we have been involved a little bit in some of that, and as well as keeping the Archbishop informed about what's going on here. The USCCB is entering into a time of writing a new pastoral for the United States for Indigenous Catholics. Hmm. And we're also involved with that. I sit on the advisory board for the USCCB for American Indian Ministry here in the United States. And so becoming more involved in those kind of things as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for your work and all of that. I did want to get specifically to, and I have to start off, Sean, with a rather humbling admission here, which is I have heard St. Kateri's, well, I've even heard her first name pronounced in a number of different ways, but how would you pronounce St. Kateri's last name?
Well, let's start with the first one.
Okay.
We say Kateri, but in Mohawk, it would be Gaudery.
Gaudery. Okay, very good. I like that.
And it's Tekekawitha.
Tekekawitha. Did I get it close? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because, of course, there's this upcoming conference next year, which, the Tekekawitha, I messed it up already. The Tekekawitha conference, which is coming up. And I think we all need, as practicing Catholic listeners and as practicing Catholics in the Archdiocese, we need to know about it because it's coming right here to our Archdiocese, right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, tell us about it.
The Tekekawitha Conference started in 1939, and it was a group of people that worked in reservations and Indian ministry, and they began forming just for their own support and to keep knowledgeable. And how do we take what has been given to one culture, and how do we bring that into a culture so that it is understood and doesn't create greater harm is a big part of what we do. It is a yearly conference. In 2023, it'll be the 84th annual Tekekawitha Conference, which we are part of what's called one of the six regions of the conference, and we're Region 3. And the U.S. states of Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Kansas, Wyoming, Nebraska, and the Canadian provinces of Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan are members of this region. And we all come together to put this conference here. And so we'll be in Bloomington and next year in July. And celebrating who we are as Native and Catholic in this area. And we have very specific tribal groups that we work with here, especially the Dakota and the Ojibwe, whereas we will have people from Alaska, from Mexico, from Canada, from all over the United States, Southwest, Northeast, coming together to pray, to learn, and to share what's going on in Indian country in their world.
Hmm. Very good. And so it's certainly for Native people. Is it for non-Native people as well?
It's for the church.
Right.
Let's all gather to see the richness that the church can bring to a different culture. I have found in my own walk that going to different cultural churches, I see a lot of myself in it. So when I go to Mexico and I go to one of our Hispanic or our Karini, or here we have our services in Ojibwe and in Lakota. And so that adds a richness to my Catholicism and to my walk, that I don't get just getting one culture. When I start looking at the different cultures of the world, all saying this message, it really, truly brings me into what it means to be universal and Catholic today.
Right, right. I remember experiencing that very same thing when I lived here in the Twin Cities, Sean. I was at the cathedral, was my home parish, and of course we get a ton of visitors every weekend, certainly for Mass, but it was oftentimes people of different cultures, of different nationalities, of different ethnicities who I just loved to watch them come forward, especially as they were coming forward to receive the Holy Eucharist. It said something about the universality of the Church, and that's what I'm hearing as you're describing that as well.
It was one of the gifts of this vigil service for the synod,
right,
that was held on the Pentecost. Most of the people in the church were from everywhere. I mean, it was immigrant city, and that was what truly touched me, to say that we are all gathered under one roof and that we can worship together.
Mm. So going back to what's active in the Archdiocese right now, especially in terms of Native people, and what are some of the realities that Native Catholics currently face? I mean, those of us who are not Native, it'd be good for us to be aware of these things. What are our brothers and sisters facing?
Well, the Catholic Church has been with the indigenous people since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There were 14 Franciscan missionaries that came with Cortez when he went to conquer Mexico. And when we talk about the new evangelization, that was the old evangelization.
Mm. Yep.
That was supposed to be the churches coming into the new world and bringing the faith to it. And unfortunately, we as humans have wandered from that path. One of the prime messages of Our Lady of Guadalupe was, do not treat my native people any differently than any of my other creation.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in native garb, and she spoke in Nahuatl, which is a local Mesotec language, to remind us that we need to treat people with respect because they're created in the image and likeness of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And we now need to correct some of those mistakes that people made along the way and truly bring the vision of the Church here so that we can all have the peace that God offers us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, may it be so. So,
our general ministry here at Getchetwa is primarily with grief and funerals. We do a lot of funerals here in the neighborhood. And unfortunately, the mortality rate for American Indians in the United States is about 20 years lower than the dominant population. And so death is a big piece that we try to help. And because many of them are in poverty, they can't afford many of the things for funeral rites. So we provide a low-cost environment to have a traditional funeral. Here we allow an overnight, which most places don't allow overnights, just because that is a real healing piece for people to do.
Mm.
We are very involved with our homeless relatives that are on the street, and we do a lot of work with the indigenous alcoholic and drug addiction issues that are here as well. We try to promote walking in a good way for everybody, and it definitely is been a growing experience for me. I've been here for 5 years now.
Yeah. Yep.
And definitely learning more each day,
mm-hmm.
and that's good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lord can reveal so much to us about Himself, about ourselves, and about His world and our brothers and sisters through interaction with other cultures. Yeah, absolutely.
We truly want to make the incarnation of Matthew 25, that we're here to feed the hungry, we're here to clothe the naked, we're here to visit those in prison and those that are sick. We're here to give water to the thirsty. And do that in a spirit that is of Christ. Mm-hmm. And each person that we meet, as our Benedictine brothers and sisters say, we need to treat like Christ. And that's what we try to do here. Obviously, it becomes harder to do that alone, and that's why we have a community that comes together and we can celebrate together with that. And that makes it much easier.
Amen. We're speaking with Sean Phillips, Director and Pastoral Minister, both at the Parish of Kichitra Kateri and also for the Office of Indian Ministry here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Let's go back to the Tekakwitha conference that's coming up next year. Now, what kind of prayer and planning is underway now or will be underway in the year to come?
So we've been meeting as a committee already for a year and a half. To launch, and we've been forming different groups. We've just put together all of the initial kind of information, save the date kinds of things, the logo for this year, which is a local Ojibwe artist has created our logo for us and has brought Kateri here, you know, because the theme of our is gathering for healing through living waters. And we talk about how water is life so much in this area, especially Dakota water walkers and Ojibwe water walkers. And she exemplifies that because she's on that border between the United States and Canada in that St. Lawrence River Valley. And that's really where her home is. And it's very similar to here. And so it's good to bring her here.
Absolutely.
The Tekakwitha Conference is hosted in one of the six, and they rotate so that we get to go to different places in Indian country. Mm. Last year, it was in Raleigh, North Carolina. This year, it will be in Alexandria, Louisiana. And then next year, it will be here in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm sure that people are going to want to at least keep up to date with what's going on and maybe even consider attending the conference, especially as it'll be right here in our backyard in Bloomington. So how can folks stay up to date with the conference and with the good work that you're doing, Sean?
Well, for the conference itself, I would go to the Tekakwitha Conference social media sites, and it's TEKCONF.org, and that's the conference page. But they are also on Twitter, and they're on Facebook, and a variety. And if you just put in TEKCONF, it'll come up with most of those items. There's also a Facebook page called Native and Catholic, which kind of brings to date and allows people to share their stories about what it means to be Native and Catholic. Just recently, we had the Canadian delegation that went to Rome, and they had four representatives from the Métis, from the First Nation, and from the Inuit, and they all spoke their stories. We get to truly hear a Native Catholic story and get to build relationships with our Native brothers and sisters, and this gives us an opportunity to do that.
That's so good. Well, Sean, we've reached the end of our time, I'm afraid, but I'm so grateful that you spent some time here on the program to inform us all, especially about the Tekakwitha Conference coming up to Bloomington next year, next July. We look forward to hearing more about that as we get closer to the date. But God bless you, Sean. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
God's blessing. Gigawabman Minawa. And that means I will meet you again someday.
Beautiful. Love it. Thank you, Sean. For more information on the conference itself, again, that website is TEKCONF, so techconf.org, and stay up to date about this year's conference as well as next year's when it's here in the Twin Cities. The Facebook page, again, is Native and Catholic. Coming up on the show, how God can use an upcoming retreat to bring you healing with a purpose. Stay with us.
So, Father John, go back to this whole idea of the virtue of hope being a gift.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
If it's a gift, is it just a matter of us recognizing that and then just saying, thank you, Lord, and accepting it? That seems pretty easy when oftentimes it's so difficult to grab onto something like hope.
Whatever the darkness of our lives can be, we have to remember, I already have a gift from God that is called hope. It's infused in my soul, and it's going to be my prayer life, my deepening knowledge of God through study, my practice of the sacraments. All that is going to water the gift of hope. And with patience and endurance and fidelity, that gift of hope begins to grow in a way that we find a way through the darkness. Very slowly, the one who is hopeless or in despair in darkness realizes that they are not alone.
Rock solid Catholic spiritual direction.
The Inner Life, weekdays 12 Eastern, 11 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. Cami Berthume, our producer, is right here as well. Paul Sadek, our technical producer. And we are coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. We've all been hurt in our lives. We've been hurt physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. And sometimes those wounds run deep, deep enough that we need some extra help in healing. The John Paul II Healing Center works to promote and inspire transformation in the heart of the church by healing and equipping God's people for the new evangelization. And one way they do that is through an upcoming retreat taking place at St. John Newman in Eagan. Joining us now is the pastor of St. John Newman, Father Tony O'Neill. Father, welcome to Practicing Catholic.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. It's a beautiful day.
Well, let's continue on in that beauty, and let's talk about especially those who might be unable to observe the beauty because they're going through some deep healing, or they're in need of deep healing, and they're going through some deep woundedness. We're talking about healing, mind, body, soul, and our friends at the John Paul II Healing Center, the JP2 Healing Center. Why don't you start us off just by introducing us to the JP2 Healing Center a bit?
Sure, yeah, thanks. So I first came in contact with them a couple of years ago. My brother and sister-in-law both work for a parish in Lansing, Michigan, and they had told me about this Healing the Whole Person retreat and that their parish was hosting it. And so I traveled down to Lansing and spent the weekend there. And I have to say, it was one of the most beautiful experiences to observe people encountering God's love in a powerful and a healing way. We're all broken in some sense, and that brokenness stops us from fully receiving and experiencing God's love, and actually being able to recognize and identify the brokenness and really where the root of that is, and then pray for healing at the root. It's made a tremendous difference in people's lives. And so, from then on, I thought, well, I want to bring this to my parish. And thankfully, through what I think was a series of Holy Spirit moments, we're able to host this conference in November.
Wow. Yeah. And that's that was going to be my question, is how did this conference end up at St. John Newman?
Yeah. So we contacted them last year and said, hey, we're very interested in bringing this conference to our parish. And they said, well, it's going to be 2 to 3 years out. And but I thought, I think God's got a plan here. And so I prayed about it. And actually, the John Paul II Healing Center came back to us a few months later saying they had a parish somewhere in Texas that was supposed to host it, but for a variety of reasons couldn't. And would we be willing to host it here? And so we said, sure, we'll absolutely we'll host it. And so that was really, it really was the Holy Spirit. And this is a ministry that's it's pretty well known in our own archdiocese here, but also around the country. And it tends to sell out pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good thing. What can people expect if they were to attend the conference?
Yeah, so I think the there's a series of talks and then some time for journaling, for reflecting on the talks, some adoration, and then also some moments for prayer ministry as well. One of the, I think the great fruits of their ministry is they, they don't just pray for the healing of things on the surface. Like, we all have, you know, sins that we fall into or difficulties in relationships. But those are really symptoms of a deeper healing that needs to happen. And so part of the purpose of the conference is to try and identify that deeper brokenness and then pray into that. And the whole point is then to experience life in Christ in a new and vibrant way. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. It starts Thursday, November 3rd in the evening and runs through Saturday, November 5th.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you expecting that people come from long, long distances away, too?
Yeah, so they've told us that the people will, you know, fly in from various places just to attend this conference. It's also, it can be streamed as well. You can register to stream it online as well. But there's something pretty powerful just about being there. Mm-hmm. I know when I was at that conference in Lansing, I spent quite a bit of time hearing confessions and just to hear people talk about the inner healing they experienced was incredibly powerful for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I see by looking at the website that the information is on here that one of the reasons we're talking about it now is that registration is set to open on August 1st, right?
That's
even
right.
Though the conference is until November, so something to be aware of. And then early bird registration price goes up until, it looks for the in-person registration goes up until August the 22nd. But still, it sounds like for a multi-day retreat focused on, you know, bringing people out of brokenness and offering the healing that Christ wants to give. What a wonderful opportunity right here in our local church. So let's talk a little bit about healing specifically, Father. Where would you say healing really begins?
You know, it begins in the heart, I think, really. I mean, it's the Lord's desire to heal us. And oftentimes the reason we need healing is either because of a woundedness in our past or our own sin failure, which kind of breaks something in us. And oftentimes when we've had difficult relationships or wounded experiences, sometimes what we do is, we make what's called these inner vows, right? Which is to say, I'll never allow someone to hurt me again, or I'll never allow this or that. And a lot of healing begins with renouncing those vows and saying, Lord, I always want to have you in my life. I always want to know your love and to live in the beauty of your love. And so most healing, I think, is an inner healing of the heart. But also, I mean, these conferences have experienced physical healing as well. Mm-hmm. And everybody needs to be healed. There's no question.
Mm. Yep. And I'm just curious, too, Father, with you being from a pastor's perspective. And now, of course, you have the sacrament of anointing. You have the ability to conduct healing masses there in the parishes, as do all of our priests in parishes, right? So,
yes.
What makes a conference like this so significant, or what makes it stand out, be something that people who are really desiring this healing and saying, yes, this is what I want to go to?
Yeah, so I think some of it is just a very focused 3 days that people can set aside time to really, really focus on this. And also, I think just, you know, Jesus says that you'll know something by its fruit. And this is a ministry that has borne a lot of fruit in people's lives. So for me as a pastor, I'm thinking, man, I want people in my parish to experience this great healing, because once we've experienced that healing, we can go and witness to the world and tell the world about the love of Jesus. So I'm super excited about it. We have a team here working pretty hard to bring all this together. We're hoping for between 600 and 800 people to attend. So God willing, that'll happen.
You anticipated my next question too, Father, is that I see on the JP2 Healing Center's website that their mission is actually to provide this healing so that people can be sent out into the world with the good news of Christ, right? And the healing power of Christ as well. So just sketch out that bridge for us a little bit too. How does being healed from one's brokenness transfer over into being used by God in the new evangelization?
Yeah, so I think it's a truth of the faith and the truth of the spiritual life that whatever we're given is pure gift, but it's always to be shared. It's never just for me. It's always to benefit the church, to benefit the world. And so there's a very, when Jesus called his disciples, they spent time with him, but then he sent them out to proclaim the gospel. And that's, you just look at the world that we live in. Boy, does it need to hear a word of hope,
yeah,
and a word of healing. And so that's my desire, is that my parishioners and all the people that will be at the conference will experience this inner transformation. And when you've encountered Jesus in a very deep way, it always leads to going out and wanting to tell people about it. So it's a great, it's the model of the gospel, and it's what we really want.
Right. And I think we're pretty familiar with what it is to have a physical wound, a wound of body. We might be somewhat familiar, at least, with what it means to have a psychological or a mental wound, a wound of mind. What does it mean to be spiritually wounded, Father? What types of healing is Jesus wanting to bring into those situations?
I think oftentimes a spiritual healing is either believing a lie about myself, or believing a lie about God, either that I'm not lovable, God could not love me, or God doesn't care about me. And those kind of, that kind of brokenness is kind of obviously an obstacle to a real deep, intimate union with God. And so oftentimes that healing is understanding who I am and how God has made me, and the dignity and worth that I have, simply because I'm made by him, and also understanding who the Lord is and how much he loves me. I have a conviction that for many people who are good Catholics, for many people they live their lives as if God tolerates them.
Yeah.
And rather than that God's madly in love with me and desires for my good.
That's good. Well, that in and of itself should get people flocking to this this conference. It's put on by the JP2 Healing Center at St. John Newman Catholic Church in Eagan, November 3rd through November 5th coming up. But registration, early bird registration, opens August 1st. And we've been chatting with Father Tony O'Neill, the pastor there at St. John Newman in Eagan. And Father, before we let you go, may we get an on-air blessing from you?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love. Thank you that you're always with us and you desire to heal our brokenness. We give ourselves to you and ask for your blessing. And may Almighty God bless you, Patrick, and all your listeners. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic, for all the good work that you do there at St. John Newman. And I pray that the conference goes swimmingly well.
Thank you, Patrick. Have a great day.
You too.
God bless.
archspm.org/events, of course, has all the details as well as the link to register. Again, the conference is November 3rd through 5th. Early bird registration opens August 1st. The Lord has many more good things in store for you this summer. Paul and I will tell you about a few of them right after this.
There were so many people with so many different issues. Every one of us has something that blocks us from growing in this relationship with Jesus.
Relevant Radio contributor Marcel Lejeune.
You know, I've been thinking about this for myself, and I would challenge all our listeners to also think about it. What is it right now that is in between you and Jesus? Is it past hurt or history? Is it something, a grudge that you're holding on to? Is it a particular sin? Is it a wound? Is it that you're scared? Is it that you're more worried about the things of the world than the things of heaven? What is it? Name it, and then offer that thing back to Jesus so that he can do the work. Because unfortunately, we tried so hard in this relationship with Jesus to do all this work, when really it's about abandoning ourselves to what God wants to do in us. And that's where things really change. And he's the one who wants it more than we do.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio. Keeping you plugged in.
The Drew Mariani Show.
The latest news and the issues of the day from a moral perspective through the eyes of our faith.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
The Drew Mariani Show. Weekdays at 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Glad you could join us. But you know, if you're thinking, I just turned it on. Well, that's all right. We got archive shows.
We have our ways.
We do have our ways. We got archive shows. We got podcasted interviews. We got social media.
We have magic.
All
under one roof. We're wizards.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for getting us canceled, Paul. Over at PracticingCatholicShow.com is what I'm trying to say. But hey, if you venture over to PracticingCatholicShow.com, if you want to stretch your legs a little bit, how about going on the Blessed Solanus Casey pilgrimages? You know, a couple of weeks ago we had
Peterson. Stretch them all right.
Yeah, Will. Will Peterson and Katie Anderson were on the show. We're meeting up in the morning at the Church of St. Peter, North St. Paul, and making a pilgrimage walk from there over to the Church of St. Michael in Stillwater. There's options, though, if you don't want to go all the way over there, if you don't want to walk down that way, you can meet up with the others there in Stillwater, or you can just join in for the Vigil Mass. This is all going to happen on Saturday, July 30th, Blessed Solanus Casey's feast day. And by the way, Blessed Solanus was confirmed at the Church of St. Michael in Stillwater.
That's a great connection. Yeah.
It is. Well, for more information on that, go to moderncatholicpilgrim.com.
Let's talk about Retrovi. It's help for struggling couples. There's a weekend coming up Friday, August 5th through the 7th. A lifeline for troubled marriages. Couples learn the tools to rediscover each other and heal their marriage. It's 100% confidential. No marriage is beyond hope. You can find more at archsbm.org/events/events.
Yes, it is always there. Yes, absolutely. As is information on confirmation classes for persons with disabilities. So if you or someone you know has a disability and just hasn't been confirmed yet, there's a great offering by the Archdiocese here. It's going to be at St. Richard's Church in Richfield. Saturday, August 6th and Saturday, August 20th. Both attendance of both days are required, and registration forms are available at 8:30 a.m. prior to the first class on August the 6th. There's an annual Mass for persons with disabilities, which will be held in September, wherein those who take the classes will be confirmed.
That'll be great.
It will be. All the details are available at archsbm.org/events. And that's where you can find information on a bunch of other things. But, you know, I was wondering, Paul, if you had an event going on, how would you get the word out about it?
I'd send it to Practicing Catholic.
Well, that's a great thing to do. You can certainly do that through PracticingCatholicShow.com has how to get in touch with us if you have an event. But you can also go over to thecatholicspirit.com, and you can also go to archsbm.org/communications, and there's tips and tricks for getting the news about your event.
I like tips and tricks.
Wow, I'm tempted to go a lot of different directions with that, but I'm not. This is me exercising prudence.
There we go.
Yeah, right here. Anyway, so thecatholicspirit.com. If you go there, they on their events tab, if you have an event to list, you can go there. Or archsbm.org/communications on how to get the word out about your upcoming event. And speaking of upcoming, see what I did there?
No.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Well, we've got another show upcoming next week is where
I'm
was
glad
going.
To hear that.
Yes, we do. Our chief shepherd is again back with us. Archbishop Hebda is joining us for his monthly bishop segment. And then, you know, the overturn of Roe v. Wade is still in the forefront of the news, which is great.
That's right.
It's important now more than ever to provide women and couples with resources for understanding their bodies. And we're hinting at something there. Did you get it? That's
no.
Right. It's NFP week 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's NFP always week. A good week.
Yeah. And so we're going to learn about how this transformative teaching uplifts families and supports the right to life. If you're not familiar with NFP, you'll want to tune in and maybe share even the interview with those around who need to know more about NFP. That's all coming up next time on Practicing Catholic. So grateful that you joined us this time. Again, check us out on the web, practicingcatholicshow.com. So grateful that you joined us. Please join us again next time. In the meantime, though, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit PracticingCatholicShow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.